Stop punishing yourself with bland, chalky protein shakes and fuel your fitness with the best protein in the game at GNC. We've got the hottest brands and flavors that legit taste like cookies, your favorite cereal, indulgent desserts, and more. It's on at GNC.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
The disappointing answer to that question is no, they did not find it today, but they are developing new leads. They do have a detective working on the case full time, and they are hoping to get more information that could lead them to Brandy Hall.
And we essentially dug in the ground in hopes of finding Brandy's remains.
Sergeant Jeff Spears has been leading the Palm Bay police investigation to try and find missing Brandy Hall. He says investigators recently used cadaver dogs and a psychic hired by Hall's family to search the backyard of Hall's former home on Dunsill Lane in Malabar. The canine got a positive result, prompting police to dig up the property Tuesday.
Based on the cadaver dogs and what indication they gave us, as well as a ground penetrating radar, there was some reason to believe that there could have been some disturbed area underground. And so we dug that area that we thought that there might be something there. And unfortunately, we did not locate any human remains.
I want to find out who did this to her, and justice will be done.
Hall's mother, along with a private investigator, an anthropologist, and specially trained dogs, have canvassed different areas that might yield clues. The Malabar volunteer firefighter vanished the night of August 17, 2006, the night before her then-husband was about to be sentenced on charges of growing and selling marijuana. A search turned up her firefighting gear floating in a Palm Bay pond, and later her truck with blood inside.
Needs to be found. I want her to be found alive, but she needs to be found.
Palm Bay police say they're not giving up.
So we're essentially going through it again and just making sure that we're all on the same page, and we've done what we can to make sure that we are keeping this case going in hopes of locating Brandy.
So you hear it there. This case is incredibly active. That clip is actually from 2019, which would be 13 years after Brandy Hall, mother of two, went missing. And that will clue you in that there are several more items that we need to get to in our timeline. But I think one thing that that clip indicates here, Captain, is what is a widespread belief. When we were left off and we were going through theories and suspects yesterday, the first theory that was proposed in this missing persons case is that Brandy died by suicide. There are some things that support this theory. One would be the financial pressures that she would be facing at the time.
Right.
And maybe we don't have anybody to say that she was depressed, but we do have many people saying, look, one thing that was very upsetting to her was losing her job as a firefighter.
Yeah, a job that she was extremely proud of.
And we do know that she was, however, making efforts to right that wrong, to get back on track there by volunteering at another fire department. The thing, though, here, Captain, is I would focus in on, if we think that suicide is a high probability, would be less on the idea that she was still so upset about losing her job, because, I mean, that took place 8 months prior.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of yesterday's news. She's already set up some things to working to getting back to that career that she loved. I would focus in on the financial constraints that she's facing. Her husband, she's volunteering as a firefighter. She's still working and bringing in an income, but it's half of what she was bringing in prior when she was being paid to be a firefighter. Now she's volunteering.
Well, and she doesn't have that marijuana money anymore.
Well, I don't know that they ever had any marijuana money, but
right.
The thing though is that Jeff, regardless if they did or not, he's going to prison. So he's not going to be having an income for a period of time, and they have two kids. Now, the flip of that would be, okay, she's so worried about financials, but we have several people saying she would not have done that because she was concerned when there were charges facing her, mm-hmm. when she was facing charges in that same drug operation, she was concerned in telling others, look, if Jeff goes to prison and I go to prison,
yeah,
who's going to take care of the kids? She was worried about the kids. And so I think that the worry about the kids, who's going to take care of them, to me, that tells me a couple things. If everybody's saying that that's her number one concern, it that seems like suicide would be less of a probability, as well as her running away and taking off. Now, when one of our suspects, Randall Richman, is confronted with the idea that, oh, you said she's waiting on some money, she's going to meet somebody, and then she's going to take off.
Mm-hmm.
So that would suggest maybe she's going to leave on her own accord.
Well, and just to stay on this suicide idea, and maybe it's also goes along with the theory of, will she run away? Okay, so there's some evidence that maybe she's not the greatest partner, she's not the greatest wife, because she's having this affair for 10 years. But I think there's enough evidence and enough people coming forward as a character witness to her, to Brandy, that she was a great mother and that she cared deeply about her kids.
I agree with that to about 90%. You know, I see a situation. She's calling home. She's saying the prayers, saying goodnight to the kids. She's working hard. She's not lazy. You know, she's working as a firefighter, working these other gigs as well,
right,
to provide. I think what I see, Captain, is a mother that deeply cares for her children. However, I think she's rather immature, because mm-hmm. to me, look, good father, good mother, you don't get involved in a drug operation.
No. But again,
good father, good mother, you don't run around on your spouse. Like, all of these things do in some,
yes, I agree,
minute way do put your children in jeopardy, or the relationship with your children in jeopardy.
But there is an argument that she had no involvement or knowledge about the drug operation.
Correct. And them eventually dropping the charges would back that up, or her involvement was so little and minuscule that nobody cared.
Right.
That she wasn't, nobody made any money. Who knows? But to move on from that, so let's jump back into our timeline here, because there are a few things to finish up that timeline. So after August 2006, when she goes missing, at some point, and this is reported a couple different ways, but this is really interesting to me. And I, you know what? If you got any hate mail, you can send it if you like. I'm not going to read it.
Shove it up your butt.
So somebody contacts a psychic. This is Gail St. John. And some sources say that it's police that contact the psychic. However, on the show that we talked about the other day, the Murder on the Space Coast, hosted by John Torres, again, he did a phenomenal job on this case and several other cases. He's a great journalist and a good follow. So he interviews this psychic, Gail St. John. Gail St. John tells him that, yes, a person emailed her. Now, this doesn't sound to me like police, even though sources say police contact psychics. Maybe they contacted other psychics. But Gail St. John says, a person emailed me, and I'm not going to tell you who that is. She says, other people emailed me and contacted me about this case as well. But the very first person that did, it weirded her out. Here's what she tells John Torres.
Talk slowly.
The person that emailed her, She doesn't say man, woman, child, whatever. She doesn't give any indication of who it would have been. But she tells Torres, the person that emailed me, it weirded me out because the feeling I was getting was that the person emailing me who claims that they want to find her, why are you searching for answers when you already know the answer?
Yeah.
That's what her psychic intuition, whatever you want to call it. If you want to call it total BS, fine. This statement is still very interesting to me. So listen to what she says. She says, Gail St. John says that one of the people seemingly pulling out all the stops in an effort to find Brandy is actually her killer. She also says that when Brandy is finally found, so that's an indication that she's saying she will eventually be found, right, there will be evidence to identify her killer.
Oh, shit.
So when you find the remains, you also find evidence that will point you to who put her there.
And I know a lot of people think this stuff is like a lot of hoopla, a lot of nonsense. I find it fascinating because, one, law enforcement does from time to time when they don't really know what direction to go in. I have talked to detectives that said, you know what? We had a psychic reach out, or we reached out to a psychic, or we did a tarot reading or whatever. And it's not so much that they believe everything that they're getting from these individuals, but it's the fact that they might turn them onto a path that they weren't thinking.
Well, and a good detective, regardless of who calls or why,
right,
if somebody calls them about a case, you want to know who they are and why they are calling.
Yeah.
And you want to vet that information. Because I could call Columbus Police Department this afternoon and say, hey, I'm a psychic and I got some visuals about some situation and here's what I know. And if they hang up the phone and it turns out that I actually did something terrible.
Right. You're the actual killer.
They just lost a huge lead. I just inserted myself into the investigation and they didn't follow up to see who I am.
Exactly.
Now, again, she says she's contacted by multiple people, but here's where my mind goes. Look, we're talking about a missing persons case almost 20 years old.
Why do you think she's not saying who this individual is?
So from what I've reviewed, she told John Torres who the person was, but because this is not anything that can be verified, he's being a true, honest journalist. But
it's possible that maybe she told law enforcement.
She may have. Right. She may have. So he is not revealing that person's name. Now, maybe when we get answers to it, maybe he'll go back and say, look, this was the name I knew all along. Or maybe he says, she told me a completely different name and she just had it wrong. Right. She may have it wrong. So let's go to June of 2007, the next year. So now she's almost been missing for 1 year. This is weird because fishermen find Brandy Hall's backpack containing clothing, wallet, and day planner. This was in a Vero Beach canal. So they know that these items belong to Brandy. What's really interesting, how do they know that these items, this backpack, belong to Brandy? Her name and contacts that she have are in this day planner.
Right.
Now, what's really interesting, this is almost, this is what, 10 months after she's been missing? Police say that it is of their opinion that because the writing in her day planner had not been completely smeared or ruined by the water, they believe that that backpack wasn't in there the entire time that she's been missing, that it was tossed in there relatively recent to somebody finding it. 10 months later, somebody's moving evidence or discarding evidence.
Yeah, so it's, and we've seen this before, where we find a killer, they go through their belongings and find other souvenirs of individuals. So it's possible that her killer, if she was murdered, which, look, I'm just going to say it, I think that's what we're looking at here, because of the blood evidence, because of the car being discarded, because of her belongings being found, that I think maybe this individual, her killer, had more belongings of her. And then at some point, I got to get rid of these. Because if these are found in my possession, well, then all fingers start pointing to me.
This is going to lead us to an increase in reward offered for information in the case. It climbs up to $10,000 in late June of 2007. Then in July of 2007, two more items are found near Vero Beach Canal. So this would be in the same location as the backpack. From my understanding, Captain, these were, I believe that they are reported to have been pornographic movies and something that's called erection cream, which I don't know.
Oh, I know all about that.
Well,
what you do is you a little flicky flicky down there and magic happens.
Somehow, yeah. I believe that I don't know. The source information here is a little tricky. So I don't know if these items were found in the backpack with the day planner or if these two items that were later found are these two items and they were connected to that backpack. It could be.
I believe they were found in the backpack. That's what I heard.
That's what I think. I think you're right there. I think they were found in the backpack and then these two other items maybe have not been, it's not been disclosed.
Mm-hmm.
What these actual items were. We do know that the following year in 2008, that her fire department helmet with her name on it was found near Mather's Bridge and Indian Harbor Beach. So that's July of 2008. In March of 2011, Investigative Discovery, the TV network, they highlight this case. So her case was on season 3 of the TV show Disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
It's episode number 12 titled Lost Hero, which aired March 21st, 2011. That same year, the Palm Bay police enlist the help of FBI profilers in the case. They don't release a profile of the likely offender, but they get them involved in, of course, learning about all the people in the case, right? Jeff Hall, Randall Richman, and so on and so forth. In 2015, Brandy Hall, at the request of her family, is declared dead, legally dead.
Well, I want to back up for a second because maybe you agree with this, maybe you won't. I wonder because we're finding belongings of her in different locations. I also wonder, is that to leave breadcrumb trails away from where they're going to discover her body?
Very likely. I think you're onto something smart there, Captain. I think what I see here is a very scared, unsophisticated criminal.
That's what I see.
I think that what we have here is somebody that when they get really nervous, they decide, oh, I got to go move. I've hid this thing once. I've concealed it. And even though it's not been found all this time, it's only a matter of time before it's found. I better go put it someplace better, a better hiding spot.
Mm-hmm.
And then what ends up happening is people are finding these things. And so what are we being told now, with the exception of the helmet, that who knows, that helmets are pretty sturdy. That helmet may have been in that location for the almost 2 years that she was missing.
Right.
But whoever put the truck in that pond, it's found within hours. Have we ever covered a case where a vehicle's found within hours of someone trying to conceal it?
No.
In a water, in submerged, completely submerged in water? It's found within hours of the time that it's put there. I mean, at the very latest, it's like 13, 14 hours after it entered the water. And if you believe the blood evidence and the experts, then it's a much shorter time than that.
Yeah. And it's tough because there's some cases where you're like, the universe seems to be getting in the way or helping. And so in this case, when we find the vehicle so quickly, you'd think that we're going to get answers so quickly, and all these years later, we don't have Brandy to bring her back home to her family.
Well, and what you do have here too is when we talk about theories, I think you can wipe one of them out completely, right? There's going to be people that always will say that, look, there's still a small percentage that maybe she left on her own. Yeah. But what you have is you have blood evidence in that vehicle and law enforcement saying, look, there's enough blood in there that we believe she was met with foul play. There's some that say there's enough blood in there that we believe that she was killed right. in that vehicle, or whatever injury she took on, it led to her death shortly afterwards. And then you have a circuit judge that is reviewing everything and the family who's petitioning the courts and the judge agreeing, okay, we can legally declare her dead. Yeah. So you have a lot of people involved that are saying, nope, there's too much here to say that she walked away. So I think it would be clean and better for the purpose of figuring out what happened to just go ahead and wipe that possibility away.
I feel awful for her kids.
Yeah. 2019, October of 2019, that is the clip that you heard at the top of the show. They're digging up a property, and the property is the Hall fam where they lived when she went missing. Why are they doing that? Keep in mind, we have Randall Richman calling Jeff Hall saying, hey, I gotta take this skid steer off the trailer so it can be worked on. Well, some people have said maybe whether he killed her or had to cover it up for somebody else, transported the body back to her own property and used her own skid steer to bury the body on that property. And that's why police worked so hard for so many years to look into that property. Now, you could also, the flip of that coin is that Jeff Hall killed her mm-hmm. and buried her on that property.
No, I understand that, but also, like, again, and they still might find her body. We don't know where they're going to find her body, so it's still possible, even though they worked that property a lot. But, hey, like we always say, look at the husband. Look at the closest people around this individual. And here's this guy that had an affair with her saying, well, I think she ran away. Again, it makes no sense that he would be worried about this stupid material thing, this piece of equipment, that he'd be worried about that when this lady that he's had an affair with is missing. That's his number one concern. Makes no sense. But again, hey, if I get her body and bury her on the property, then they're going to point the finger towards the husband.
Yeah, and he's going to be locked up. So yeah, that you can see why one would want to do that. Now, keep in mind, at the end of that clip, you have law enforcement saying that we can say with confidence that she's not here. So they,
which I believe them. I'm just saying because she's not found, you know, you can't rule out. I don't know. It's hard for me to rule out that property when she hasn't been found.
Well, in September of 2021, law enforcement is finally able to completely drain the pond where Brandy's truck was found, and nothing is discovered. Nothing additional is found there. So in my mind, where I go is that she's not on the property that her and her husband shared with their children.
Yeah, most likely.
And she's not in the pond where her truck was found. So we can, as while we're looking for where she is, we can start to make a list of where she is not. Now, we've talked a lot about Randall Richman. We should also talk about his wife, who, yes, she worked at the nearby Palm Bay Hospital. Her shift ended at 11 p.m. that night. Now, this is weird because this is roughly about the same time that we have Brandy Hall leaving the Malabar fire station that night.
Right.
So, and we know that there's bad blood there. We don't know how much wife knows about the husband running around.
But I think there's evidence, you know, when there's a confrontation that's public.
Yeah. Oh, dude, she, and he later says it to police himself. Randall Richman later says it to police. Like, I don't know that she knew 100%, but she knew we were very close friends. She was concerned that we were too close of friends. Mm-hmm. And his words were, I believe her intuition told her that there was an affair.
And I don't like this guy because he has lied many times. Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Well, here's the problem. So let's cross-reference our remaining suspects, right? Jeff, and I'm keeping Jeff Hall on that list because how did we discover this case to want to present it and bring it to all of you? Mm-hmm. Well, we had several listeners suggest it, and it was on our giant list of listener suggestions, our big spreadsheet that we've created. But it's just one name of hundreds at this point. So I go to Orlando for CrimeCon last year. I had four or five different people that came up to the True Crime Garage booth, and they brought up this Brandy Hall case. And I said, yeah, I don't know much about it. The name doesn't even ring a bell. When I got home, I confirmed that it was already on our spreadsheet.
Right.
But what was so interesting to me and what sucked me in is the first person that I met said, hey, you ever heard of this Brandy Hall case? I said, no. He said, well, I'm here to tell you the husband killed her. He's been involved in construction, and it's my opinion that he took her somewhere and she's probably under concrete and they may never find her. So, okay, well, I'll take a look.
Right.
It wasn't until the next day somebody goes, hey, have you ever heard of this Brandy Hall case? And I said, matter of fact, somebody just brought it up yesterday.
The husband did it.
And I said, the person told me that the husband, Jeff Hall, killed her, and that it's going to be difficult to find her because he's involved in construction and he probably put her under concrete somewhere or in concrete somewhere. And it could be anywhere in the state of Florida. And that person goes, well, I understand that he looks like a good suspect, but I'm here to tell you the boyfriend killed her and that she's probably in some water somewhere. I said, all right, okay, well, I'll make a mental note of that. That same day, somebody else brought up the Brandy Hall case, and then drinks that night, sitting around with other podcasters, talking to other listeners, and the Brandy Hall case came up again. So I thought, this has got to go to the short list. I, for myself, have got to know who do I think is responsible. So let's cross-reference Jeff Hall versus Randall Richmond and Anne Marie Richmond, his wife. Anne Marie, they say that Jeff Hall's alibi is a problem. I'm yet to hear anybody tell me what Anne Marie Richmond was up to after she left her shift at the hospital at 11 p.m. August 17th, 2006.
Yeah, because if her alibi is, well, I went home and my husband saw me, well, we can't believe anything he says.
Well, her husband shouldn't have saw her because he was working the overnight fire shift.
Right, correct, yeah.
At Palm Bay Fire Station. So Jeff Hall, I'm told Jeff Hall's alibi is a problem because his alibi is, well, I was at home sleeping with my kids. Mm-hmm. And everybody says, well, he could have snuck out that night. Kids maybe didn't wake up. They're little. He goes out, kills the wife, gets rid of the body, and wakes up next morning, makes some phone calls looking for his wife, and then goes off to his sentencing hearing. Okay, that's not out of the realm of possibility. There's also people that say there's missing time in the timeline for Brandy Hall that night. She could have stopped. She could have went home. Something goes down, he kills her there, and then he's got to get rid of the body, get rid of the truck.
Right.
Seems like a lot of stuff for him to do in the middle of the night. But we do know that somebody did a lot of stuff in the middle of the night, so why not Jeff Hall? Now, the problem, again, Anne Marie Richmond, what's her alibi? Nobody's told me. There's no information anywhere that I've found. Maybe her alibi is I was at home sleeping, and maybe police aren't so concerned with her for a multitude of reasons. I don't know. We do know that she got close to having some kind of physical altercation with our victim at some point at the seafood festival in Grant. Randall Richmond, they say he's got the best alibi of all because he was working that night, and there's five firefighters that were at the fire station with him that night who all say he was there with us that night, the entirety of the night. So unless,
but is he responsible for setting her up? I mean, 80 points of communication between him and the victim, Brandy Hall, on the day she goes missing.
But let's keep in mind, though, too, what will those firefighters be doing that night? Sleeping like the rest of us.
Yeah, but
if Jeff Hall's telling the truth, they're sleeping just like Jeff Hall. If Jeff Hall could have snuck out of his house with some sleeping children, and we are to believe that's a possibility, I would argue that it's a possibility that Randall Richmond could have slipped out of the firehouse with sleeping firefighters there, and they don't know any better.
Well, my only issue with that is we do have Brandy Hall on camera footage leaving her fire station. So I'm assuming, and maybe I shouldn't assume, but that fire station would have video footage as well. So if he was leaving, that we would have him on video footage leaving the fire station.
There's been no talk or mention of camera footage or not from that firehouse. So here's what's interesting to me. The argument in favor of Randall Richmond not being a good suspect is that the vehicle, you know, it's not a fire truck. It's just that supervisor vehicle was a diesel vehicle, and that firefighters don't sleep very well, right? They're light sleepers for good reason. That alarm goes off and they got to respond. So the argument is that supervisor vehicle was parked inside the firehouse, and that if he were to start it up inside that firehouse, if he were to open up that big garage door, that would have woke up any number of those firefighters. They would have seen him leave. They would remember him leaving that night. But then we find out many months later, there was a second fire supervisor vehicle that was parked outside of the firehouse that night. And later, one of those firefighters would tell police, well, he did step outside briefly around 11 o'clock or so. He said he was stepping out to take a phone call. What's missing from that story is, did you see him step back in after the phone call? Because he could have stepped out to, hey, I got to step outside and take a phone call, hop in that other vehicle. Here's the problem, though, for saying that he stayed at the firehouse all that night with all those other firefighters. Who the fuck drove that truck over to where it was found next to Brandy Hall's by the police officer? That it's a marked vehicle that says it's from the Palm Bay Fire Department. Who drove it there? Somebody drove it there. That happened. So if Randall Richmond didn't drive it, which one of you other firefighters drove it over there that night? It was seen parked near a vehicle that is described to be Brandy Hall's truck, that is later found in a pond that's right in that same location. This Home Depot is not far from the Palm Bay fire station. It was rumored that the two of them would frequent that pond where her truck was found for rendezvous. It was almost the perfect crime. Everyone was distracted, their attention elsewhere. Stacks of cold hard cash sitting on the table unguarded. Who wouldn't be tempted to slowly reach their hand out and steal a pile of Monopoly money from the banker? Monopoly is one of those games that can bring out everyone's most devious selves. And Monopoly Go takes that gleeful mischievousness to your phone in a wildly popular twist on the classic game that you can play throughout your day, anywhere, anytime. Collect rent from friends on iconic properties. Bankrupt them by pulling a heist on their vault. And Monopoly Go has timed tournaments where you can team up with friends to unlock big prizes and try to top the leaderboards. Whether you're helping out your friends or going head-to-head for riches, Monopoly Go is an absolute blast. Download it now free on the App Store or Google Play. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? Mine's feeling a little drained. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapist at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/garage today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/garage. Have you ever thought about why your wireless bill is so damn expensive? It's all just radio waves. And how much can radio waves really cost? It seems like Big Wireless all got together and decided $100 a month. Now, thanks to Mint Mobile, you have a choice. For a limited time, all phone plans from Mint Mobile are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plan's jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. So ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited-time deal and get premium wireless for just $15 a month. I love Mint Mobile. They have great quality. They have wonderful service. I love saving money. Put them together, and I'm getting great quality, great service, a wonderful phone plan for only $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/TCG. That's mintmobile.com/TCG. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/TCG. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Want to thank everybody for sharing the images of the suspects. Well, I don't even want to call them suspects. The killers of the Sharif Rahman case on social media. Cheers to everybody. Cheers to you, Colonel.
Yes, and cheers. And let's hope and pray that that case is solved very soon. And let's hope and pray that Brandi Hall, that we find her very soon.
Yeah.
You know, look, I do my best work late at night, and sometimes these things come to me or I stumble upon them in the 11th hour. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened to me before coming to the garage today. There's a million problems that I have with Randall Richman's statements and his statements that he's given to police.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very big difference between him and Jeff Hall. Right? I get it. To me, the top two suspects in this case and in a situation like this would be the husband and the boyfriend.
Yes.
And I'm with you, Captain. I would tend to lean toward the husband most of the time. But in this situation, one clear difference between the two is when police ask Jeff Hall, "Where's your wife?" His answer is, "I don't know." When they ask Randall Richman, "Where is Brandi Hall?" He says, "Oh, I haven't talked to her in weeks."
Yeah.
2 days later, different story.
Liar.
"Oh, I talked to her the night that she went missing, but she told me that she's going to take off, that she's going away, that she's waiting on some money. She's going to meet somebody, get some money, and take off." "Well, why did your story change?" "Well, I was covering for her. I didn't want her to get in trouble. I covered for her for 2 days. But now," he says, "I'm telling you because I'm concerned. I didn't think she was going to be gone very long, and she's not come back. And now I'm concerned, so I'm going to tell you guys the truth now." Wait. You weren't concerned when they pulled her bloody truck out of the pond the day before?
Mm-hmm.
And you came up with a story to tell police that they very quickly, you haven't talked to her in weeks. You talked to her 50 times a day leading up to her disappearance. You talked to her minutes before the last time that we can account for her whereabouts.
Yeah, and on top of that, when you look, again, two suspects, you have one, the husband wasn't cooperative at first, but he had a legal reason not to be. And then when that passed, he was, you could almost say, as cooperative as one could be. And what do we know about law enforcement in this case? They gave him a polygraph test. He passed the test. Now, you can say what you want about those, but I'm sure that they offered that to the boyfriend as well. And I don't have any record of him taking a polygraph test.
They requested that Randall Richmond take one, and he refused to take the polygraph test.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, again, it's these changing stories, right? I haven't talked to her in weeks. Well, then 2 days later, it's, oh, I'm so concerned. And she told me she was going away, taking off on her own. Now he's planting a whole nother possibility that why he didn't do what they suspect that he did. Oh, she took off. And now she's been gone so long, 2 days, I'm concerned. And now I want to tell you the truth. Again, you weren't concerned when they pulled her truck that had her blood in it out of the pond. That, yeah. I think you might want to go and say, hey, right? Because he's questioned the night that they pulled the truck from the pond.
Right.
So why is it I didn't talk to her for weeks that same night? It's because he doesn't want to be linked to her. He wants to distance himself from the victim as much as he possibly can. And the other thing here, Captain, is the items that were found. I keep going back to that too. I think that what we have here is a situation where somebody's panicking time and time again, and they're going, you know what? I may have concealed this item for a few months. It will be found eventually. I better move it. And what did we see with the truck? Put it in water. What did we see with the backpack? Found in water. What did we see with the other items? Found in or near water.
Mm-hmm.
The helmet, found in water. Firefighters respond to an alarming, a disturbing number of vehicle accidents, sometimes resulting in a fatality. A lot of times some of these will include ponds, waterways, bridges, things of that nature. So what will a firefighter know by their work experience? That water creates problems. Recovering items, recovering bodies, recovering vehicles, and it also creates problems of destroying items over time. This unsophisticated criminal suspected that these items would remain in the water for a very long period of time. However, they did such a poor job hiding them that they were found relatively quickly.
Well, to play devil's advocate, though, the husband was a firefighter.
So exactly.
He would know this as well.
He was a public safety officer. He would know even better.
My biggest issue is the eyewitness and the vehicle that they claim that they saw.
And it's a police officer eyewitness. It's not some...
Yes.
Shlomo off the streets.
Mm-hmm.
It's a person that doesn't have a dog in the fight, a person that's not only that, reporting something before this woman's even missing. And the report states that a vehicle matching her description, a person matching her description, is in the truck with another person who's unidentified, and the Palm Bay supervisor... Some reports say chief, some say captain. Guess what rank Randall Richmond held? Captain. He's the captain at the Palm Bay Fire Department.
That truck
is found right next to the other truck, to Brandy Hall's truck.
Yes. And look, with a ranking like captain, guilty. He's guilty. 100%. Captain did it.
Well, Randall Richmond and Anne Marie Richmond would end up splitting up. They would get a divorce in 2003.
Surprise, surprise.
I'm sorry. They would get a divorce in 2013.
Yeah, surprise, surprise.
You know, he's done some other things over the course of time that I think make him a good suspect. One of the law enforcement officers, one of the profilers that was brought in when reviewing the interviews with Randall, says that Randall was crying during some portions of the interview.
Yeah.
And he's saying what I'm seeing here is not a person that's crying because they're sad that they lost somebody that they care deeply about. I'm seeing someone that's crying because they're scared. They're scared that they're going to get caught. They're scared that they're going to get found out.
Yeah.
And if You know, he had that shift, that overnight shift the night before. If he was able to duck out and go see her, I'm saying here, I don't know that he went and met up with Brandy Hall with the intent to kill her. Maybe he gets there and things got weird and she dies by accident or is killed, what have you. That part I can't sort out. But what I feel like happened is that he was somehow able to duck out that night. And then being off for the next 2 days, he's got 2 days to figure out getting rid of these items, getting rid of all of this stuff. He gets rid of the truck. And
well, and here's the thing too. And maybe this is a nothing burger, but when you look at the two suspects, if you're law enforcement, you're going, okay, well, the husband has these drug charges. The boyfriend, his stories aren't matching up. But what do we know? What we do know is the next day, one goes about their business. One goes about the schedule that they already had laid out for them. And one alters his schedule. I can't show up to court. I had a change of heart. I just can't do this. And all, by the way, can I get to your property?
I got to go to your property all of a sudden.
And why do you got to go to the property? Why is that so?
And he's not dumb enough to be able to figure out the likelihood that nobody else will be there.
Yeah.
If he's responsible, he already knows that Brandy's not going to be there. And because of the sentencing hearing, he knows that Jeff's not going to be there.
Yeah. Gives him time. And here's the other thing too, is all these other pieces, I guess you could call them evidence, these other items of Brandy's that were found, you have to discard them if you're not her husband. You have to discard them in the woods or in water or wherever, so they're not on your person, not on your property. If it was the husband, well, the husband could just take it back to his house. And it would make sense why her helmet would be at her house. It would make sense why her planner would be at the house. You would have no reason to have to discard it.
The other thing that really rubs me the wrong way
is that erection lotion?
No. Look, that's not Brandy Hall's. Or not for her use. I can tell you that.
See,
though I don't know what it is, it would require, from my understanding of the human anatomy, it would require another person to be involved.
No, I understand that, but I also, and I know this might sound a little strange, but I also wondered, is there another use for this product?
I don't know enough about it, but here's the other thing. In his interviews, the interviews that I've been able to review, and again, it's probably a small sample size here, but once we get past the interview where he just says, oh, I haven't talked to her in weeks, now once he's admitting that he's talked to her, he uses the phrase in every other sentence, you know, and when he's describing everything that happened, the conversations that he had with Jeff, the conversations he had with Brandy Hall, their interaction together, their relationship together, where could she be? Everything, every other sentence starts with, and you know what that does? You know people that, and here I'm using it now, you know people that use that, what they're subconsciously doing? They're trying desperately to get the person on the other side of the table or sitting next to them to agree with them. They're planting the seed of, this is what happened. You know, they're planting the seed of, this is what happened and you will agree with me. And he says it, I think, out of sheer nervousness over and over and over again. I think one, that's a very telling thing. And two, another big difference between Jeff Hall and a bunch of other people that we could talk about today in comparison to Randall Richman is what, Captain? Other people keep calling Brandy Hall, trying to get a hold of her, trying to get in touch with her, trying to figure out where she is, if she's okay. Mm-hmm. Randall Richman stops calling. 50 times a day, man, I call
nothing.
You.
50 times 50 a day to nothing. 50
communiques a day between the two of us, whether she's calling me, I'm calling her, text messages between the two of us, 50 times a day. And then roughly about the same 15 minutes that she goes missing, nothing. No more calls from me to her phone, no more texts from me to her phone. For how long? How about forever? How about forever?
Yeah, and the people that were calling to try to figure out where she was and what happened to her, and maybe she'll answer the phone for me, they weren't contacting her 50 times a day before she went missing.
No.
And then, like you said, it's not just 50 times a day. The day she goes missing, 80 points of communication. It is a shame that she has not been found, and it's a shame that there's not charges brought against this individual.
And I'm going to go way out on a limb here, too. I think the psychic was right. I think the psychic was right. And I think what Gail St. John said, that when she is found, and I love that she said when she is found. That gives me so much hope and optimism in this case. Mm-hmm. When she is found, there will be evidence to point to her killer. And I think that she's right, because I think I know where Brandy Hall is. And I hope police are aware of this information. I would wager Franklin that your boy Randall probably is.
Mm-hmm.
But I have some hard questions about a piece of property. We already covered the fact that Randall Richman and Anne Marie Richman, they separate in 2013. They're separated, legally separated. I am not married to you. You are not married to me. And a lot of our properties, belongings, all of those things should be separate as well, right, Captain? We've mm-hmm. divorced.
Yeah, that's how it works.
So if we split up in 2013 legally by the state of Florida, then why do I, Randall Richman, and I, Anne Marie Richman, both have ties to that property in 2018? Why do we both have ties to that property? Oh, somebody passed away. Randall's brother, Patrick, passes away. I'm guessing that maybe he bequeathed this property to his brother, or his brother and his brother's ex-wife. Why would it go to his ex-wife? Why would both of them have interest in this same property? Do they both have a big problem to hide, to bury, to secrete forever and ever? So Randall's ties to this property go back way back when. So he has ties to this property since 1989, when he gets involved with a company called Dixie Equipment Services Incorporated. And then we have Patrick Richman, which would be his brother. LC is a company that is operating out of that same property, which is a residential property and a rather large one, in 2004. Then we have a company called Dixie Fishing LLC that's operating out of that same property in 2014. We have Randall Richman, who has ties to that property at all of those times, 1989, 1996, 2004, 2014, and then 2018, 5 years after the separation from his wife. And his wife continues to have ties to that property in 2018 and beyond. There was also some kind of building that took place on this property in 2020. And they both still had ties to that property in 2020. We have Randall Richmond, who still has ties to that property to this day. And in 2017, there's a property in Jones Creek. It's called Jones Creek Acres Drive in Franklin, North Carolina. Now, this is much further away. This is 9.5 hours away from Palm Bay, Florida. But why do both separated husband and wife have ties to that property in 2017? There's something that's not adding up here. There's something that's not added up here. Why would these two who are divorced have a vested interest in these two properties. Now, at some point, Anne Marie will separate herself from the North Carolina property. But that Grant, Florida property that's only 18 minutes away from Palm Bay, and even a shorter distance from the Home Depot, where I believe that Randall and Brandy Hall were sitting in a truck together at midnight on August 17th, 2006. It's even a shorter distance to that property. So I want to know, and I hope that police are onto that as well and keeping an eye on what is up with that property and why do we still have ties to it from two people that are separated.
Again, it's a shame that she hasn't been found. It's a shame that we have no arrest or charges brought in this case. I believe one day we will. And I feel bad for her friends and family, and especially her children.
Yeah, she was just 32 years of age. And as we said earlier, two children at the time that she went missing. And she was last seen leaving. The last confirmed whereabouts of her would be close to 11 o'clock on August 17th, 2006. She was wearing a white shirt with a logo on the back and also a logo on the front, a small left breast logo, dark long pants, and mid-calf work boots. She does have some tattoos, but at this point, Captain, you know, we're not going to find tattoos. We very likely would not be finding tattoos. Anybody with information, anything at all, on any of the people that we've discussed here in these episodes, but especially about Brandy Hall, please contact and give that information to the Palm Bay Police Department. Their phone number is 321-952-3456, or you can remain anonymous by calling the crime line at 800-423-TIPS. That's 800-423-TIPS.
Fascinating case. Want to thank everybody for joining us here in the garage. Thanks for being our friends. Thanks for having a pint with us. Colonel, do we have any recommended reading?
Yes, sir. This week we are recommending After Eton, the missing child case that held America captive, by Lisa Cohen. This is a case that many people have followed for a very long time. It's one of the most infamous missing children cases in American history. This was before kids on the milk cartons, before Amber Alerts. This is about the lost child, Eaton Pates, and there's a lot of speculation and a lot that goes into this fascinating book by Lisa Cohen. She chronicles this case like none other. And just like the case that we featured here this week, there's a lot of mystery that surrounds this case. I recommend that you check out this book, and I think you will devour it quite quickly. It's a real page-turner. You can find that recommendation and many, many more on our recommended page, truecrimegarage.com.
And until next week,
be good, be kind, and don't litter.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.